Behind Closed Doors, written by Catherine Croft and read by Lisa Coleman.
Chapter 1. I've never told you about the day I left Carl. For 11 years we'd woken up together, made a life for ourselves and raised our daughter, only for it to perish in an instant, as if the foundation of our marriage was built on air. How foolish I was to believe that was the worst life could throw at me. It is the beginning of autumn when I leave the only home I've ever felt secure in. The sun teases us with its excessive heat, fooling us into believing we're still in the caress of summer, so it is a surprise when Carl trudges downstairs, wrapped in a thick black roll-neck jumper. My mouth opens to ask him why he's wearing winter clothes on such a warm day, but I quickly change my mind. It's no longer my business what he does. Carl begs me to stay that morning, hurling his words at me as if they are weapons. "How can you do this to Ellie?" he shouts in desperation. "And why Putney? You don't have to run away to the other side of London, for Christ's sake. I'll never see her." I avoid looking at him and shrug off the fact he's using our daughter as a bargaining tool. Running on adrenaline and fear of caving in, I throw items I'm not sure belong to me into boxes, paying no attention to the room labels I have scribbled on each one. I don't want to think about how I'll unpack this mess. All I can focus on is getting out of here before I have second thoughts. Carl continues with his desperate plea, and in my rush I drop the wine glass I'm haphazardly blanketing in bubble wrap. The tiny fragments of glass glisten on the floor, and I stare at them, wondering how something that's shattered into pieces can still be so beautiful. I clear the pieces away, and my resolve to leave the home I've pictured us growing old in together strengthens. Just like the glass, our marriage cannot be put back together. Ellie appears in the kitchen doorway. Her eyes are bloodshot and her cheeks coated with tears. Carl finally gives up his plea and rushes to comfort her while I finish packing. I cannot look at either of them and trudge back and forth to the car, weighed down by boxes that are ready to burst. When he's managed to calm Ellie down, Carl helps me with the last box, and when I shut the car boot, I'm surprised by how little there seems to be. Most of it is clothing. I've left all the household items for Carl because I don't want reminders of my old life. This is a fresh start for Ellie and me. Outside the front door, I say goodbye to Carl and try not to crumble when I have to pull Ellie off him. She clings to his waist and howls while Carl looks at me, helpless, his eyes begging me to change my mind. "Come on, Ellie," I say, gently easing her off Carl and towards the car. "We'll call Daddy as soon as we get there, I promise." And then Ellie surprises us both. Wiping her eyes with her sleeve, she stops crying and nods. "Okay, bye, Daddy," she says, handing Carl a folded piece of paper. It must have been clamped in her hand this whole time, because I've put all her bags in the car and she's wearing a dress with no pockets. Before Carl unfolds the sheet, I know what it is. Even at 9 years old, Ellie is a gifted artist, surprising her teachers and us with her accuracy and eye for detail. Carl opens the sheet, and I can tell he's fighting back tears. Ellie has drawn a caricature of the three of us. We're all holding hands and smiling, standing in front of the house. Carl grabs Ellie and hugs her tightly. "I love you," he says. He's still standing at the door as we drive away, and with Ellie's small face plastered to the car window, watching Carl as if he'll disappear forever if she dares to turn away, I nearly change my mind. For the whole drive to Putney, I constantly check beside me to see if Ellie is okay. She doesn't say anything, but snuggles into the passenger seat and closes her eyes. I am powerless to help her. Nothing will ease the pain of me dragging her away from her father, and I begin to wonder if either of us will ever be okay again.